This is KSL's Religion Today, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner, on KSL News Radio.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This is the last in a two-part series, part number two, about the visions of Joseph Smith. Joseph Smith had more visions that have been documented during his lifetime than any other person in history, and that's quite a remarkable statement to make. The majority of these visions are not found in the standard works, although you can certainly find many of them there. They are found in Joseph Smith's own personal history, some of which he wrote, most of which he dictated, and in the records that were kept by his contemporaries, people that he knew and confided to about the visions that he had. In addition, one of the other fascinating points here is that in many cases, the visions that Joseph Smith had were shared by others. That's quite a unique thing, and it's also a check on the accuracy of them, because if someone else is vouching for the exact same experience, that lends credence to its authenticity. During our last show, we went through 14 or so of Joseph Smith's early visions. During this program, during this segment, we'll have time for perhaps another 15 or so out of the 70 total. In our last show, we talked about and focused on the four appearances that Joseph Smith and others saw of the Father and the Son between 1831 and 1836. Historical sources tell us that Joseph Smith saw Jesus on four separate occasions. We know that 13-year-old Mary Elizabeth Rollins was present when one of these visions transpired. She remembered the event, which occurred in 1831, and at a meeting of the saints held at the Isaac Morley Farm, where the prophet was the main speaker. She recalled Joseph Smith speaking very solemnly during the meeting. And this is what Mary Elizabeth Rollins described. Quote, "All at once his countenance changed, and he stood mute. Those who looked at him said there was a searchlight within him over every part of his body. I never saw anything like it on the earth. I could not take my eyes off him. He got so bright and white that anyone who saw him would have thought he was transparent. I thought I could almost see through his flesh to his bones," close quote. The prophet stood silent for several minutes before he asked those present if they knew who had been in their midst. Martin Harris told them it was the Savior, to which Joseph Smith responded that God had revealed that truth to Martin. He then said, quote, and this is again according to Mary Elizabeth Rollins, quote, "Brothers and sisters, the Savior has been here this night, and I want to tell you to remember it. There is a veil over your eyes, for you could not endure to look upon him," close quote. Here's another vision that Joseph Smith had. On December 18th of 1833 in Kirtland, the prophet experienced a vision of the premortal Jehovah ministering to Father Adam in mortality. Oliver Cowdery noticed that while Joseph Smith was setting apart his father, Joseph Smith Sr., as patriarch of the church, quote, "The visions of the Almighty were open to his view, and he beheld a great ancient council meeting at Adam on Diamond, held 3 years previous to the death of Adam. The Lord appeared unto them, administered comfort unto Adam," close quote. Quite a vision. In July of 1839, during a meeting with the 12 and the 70, Joseph Smith briefly recounted the vision when he said, quote, "I saw Adam in the valley of Adam on Diamond. The Lord appeared in their midst, and Adam blessed them all, close quote. In another vision, Joseph Smith had about the Savior happened during the week of the dedication of the Kirtland Temple. The prophet's personal history, the entry for March 30th of 1836, which was 3 days after the formal dedication, records this, quote, "The Savior made his appearance while angels ministered unto others," close quote. Although Joseph didn't give any more information, Joseph was not prone to write a lot. He was a good dictator, but not a prolific writer. So that's all he said. A person by the name of Harrison Burgess was present. And Harrison Burgess, who was a member of the 70, said this, quote, "I was in a meeting for instruction in the upper part of the Kirtland Temple with about 100 of the high priests, 70s, and elders, and I beheld the room lighted up with a peculiar light, such as I had never seen before. It was soft and clear, and the room looked to me as though it had neither roof nor floor to the building, and I beheld the prophet Joseph and Hiram Smith and Roger Orton enveloped in the light. Joseph Smith exclaimed aloud, quote, I behold the Savior, the Son of God, close quote. All who were in the room felt the power of God, the remembrance of which will remain with me while I live upon the earth, said Harrison Burgess. The next vision of Joseph Smith I wanted to mention, the 18th one so far, is one that happened on April 3rd, 1836. Both Joseph and Oliver Cowdery had this vision together, making it quite exceptional. This happened in the Kirtland Temple, where Joseph and Oliver had gone to the pulpits for the Melchizedek priesthood, where they described a glorious vision of the Lord that was opened up to them. Now, this is one that we do find in Scripture. It's section 110. The first and second elder of the church, according to section 110, saw, quote, Jesus Christ standing upon the breastwork of the pulpit. His eyes were as a flame of fire. The hair on his head was white like the pure snow. His countenance shone above the brightness of the sun. This occasion is the last documented vision of Joseph Smith seeing the Savior. So let's pause right here and mention that if you include the first vision, there are a documented 5 visions that Joseph Smith had, either alone or with someone else, of the Father and the Son together, and 4 visions of the Savior individually, 9 total. Quite remarkable. During his years as church president, Joseph Smith also had visions and manifestations from ancient prophets and apostles. Adam was among the prophets most frequently seen by Joseph Smith. During the decade of the 1830s, Joseph Smith saw Adam in vision at least 3 separate times. 2 of these accounts are included in Scripture, found in section 107, verses 53 through 57, and also in Doctrine and Covenants, section 137. However, the most interesting one here is not recorded in Scripture. This happened in April of 1834. Joseph Smith held a conference of the church at New Portage, Ohio, and there Joseph Smith asked Oliver Cowdery and Zebedee Coltrane to walk with him to a place where there was some beautiful grass and grapevines. Coltrane later described what happened, and when we come back from our break, I will describe this fascinating vision. It is actually quite remarkable. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. We're talking about the visions of Joseph Smith. If you have a question or a comment about this show or any other religious question, feel free to send me an email to martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com. We'll be right back.
Religion Today with host Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. This is the second in a two-part series talking about the visions of Joseph Smith. There were 70 known in total, and depending on how you count, there might be a few more, a few less, but that's about the number. There could be others. Many of these are documented only in the personal diaries of the individuals who heard them, and there may be other such diary entries that we have just not had a chance to read or see yet. All right, so when we took our break, I'd mentioned that at a conference in the thriving metropolis of Portage, Ohio, Oliver Cowdery and Zebedee Coltrane accompanied Joseph Smith out to a place where there was some beautiful grass and grapevines. Joseph Smith requested that each pray in turn. And after each did pray in turn, Joseph said, "Now, brethren, we will see some visions." Joseph Smith laid on the ground, and Oliver and Zebedee rested their heads on Joseph Smith's outstretched arms. So Joseph Smith laid down first, stretched his arms out, and the other two, one on each side, laid their heads on his arms. Quote, "The heavens gradually opened," said Zebedee Coltrane. Quote, "And we saw a golden throne on a circular foundation, something like a lighthouse, and on the throne were two personages having white hair and clothed in white garments. These personages were the two most beautiful and perfect specimens of mankind I have ever seen," quote, close quote, said Zebedee Coltrane. Joseph told Oliver and Zebedee that these were our first parents, Adam and Eve. Zebedee Coltrane described Adam as a large, broad-shouldered man and Eve as a woman who was, quote, large in proportion. Vision number 21. Joseph Smith also saw other angelic ministrations and other ancient prophets. As the Kirtland Temple neared completion in early 1836, there was an outpouring of spiritual appearances by heavenly beings. For example, on January 21st of 1836, at a meeting held in the not-yet-dedicated temple, angels ministered unto those who were present. As the prophet reported in his journal, "They ministered to many as well as myself, for we all communed with the heavenly host," close quote. Recorded in Joseph Smith's personal journal for January 22nd is a comparable occurrence. It says, quote, "The heavens were opened, and angels ministered unto us. They mingled their voices with ours, while their presence was in our midst," close quote. On January 28th of 1836, Joseph saw another glorious vision, which he did not describe for whatever reason. Number 23 of Joseph's visions. Divine messengers attended the dedicatory services of the Kirtland Temple on March 27th of 1836. After the dedicatory prayer was read, Frederick G. Williams arose and testified that, quote, "Midway during the prayer, an holy angel came and seated himself in the stand," close quote. Of course, Frederick Williams doesn't say why he had his eyes open during the prayer. I'm kidding. But he apparently did and saw an angel come and sit down. Little humor there. Heber C. Kimball could see the personage from where he was sitting. So apparently, Heber C. Kimball's eyes were also not closed during the prayer. And from where he sat, Heber C. Kimball described this angel as, quote, "very tall with black eyes, white hair, and sloop-shouldered. His garments were whole, extending to near his ankles, and on his feet he had sandals, close quote. He was sent as a messenger to accept the dedication, apparently. And after midday adjournment, the first thing Joseph Smith did was announce to those who were assembled that the personage who had appeared in the morning was Peter, the original apostle, the chief apostle who had come to accept the dedication, which I find fascinating, close quote. Vision number 24. On the evening of the dedication day, the priesthood quorums met in the temple. It was during this meeting that a Pentecostal-like outpouring transpired. Joseph Smith's personal history says it this way, quote, "There was a noise that was heard like the sound of a rushing, mighty wind which filled the temple, and all the congregation simultaneously arose, being moved upon by an invisible power. Many began to speak in tongues and prophesy. Others saw glorious visions, and I beheld the temple was filled with angels, which fact I declared to the congregation. The people of the neighborhood came running together, hearing an unusual sound within, and seeing a bright light like a pillar of fire resting upon the temple, and were astonished at what was taking place," close quote. Vision number 25. Two or three days later, the leading brethren and quorums of the church met to perform ordinances and anointings. And on this occasion, Heber C. Kimball made this comment, quote, "The beloved disciple John was seen in our midst by the prophet Joseph, Oliver Cowdery, and others," close quote. We don't know much more than that, but a fascinating vision nonetheless. Vision number 26. The most significant manifestation during this spiritual season in Kirtland occurred about a week after the dedication, when the Lord appeared and accepted the temple and the sacrifice of the saints, which has been referred to earlier. I talked about that a minute or two ago. But after that theophany of Jesus appearing, Moses also appeared, and he bestowed the keys of the gathering. And his appearance was followed by the prophet Elias, who restored the keys associated with the dispensation of the gospel of Abraham. Also, Elijah came and bestowed the keys of the sealing power upon the first and second elders, Joseph and Oliver Cowdery. You can read about this in section 110, verses 11 through 16. We have time for just a few more. Vision 27, the prophet experienced at least one face-to-face spiritual encounter with Satan. Now, this is a little bit different kind of a vision than you would expect, but this is worth recounting. Heber C. Kimball related the incident. One of his children was very sick, and he laid his hands upon the child, but when it got better, as soon as he went out the door, the child was sick again. He laid his hands on his child's head, and then it recovered, and then it got sick again. This happened several times. And he had an open vision and saw the devil in person, who contended with Joseph Smith face to face for some time. And he said it was at his house, it belonged to him, and Joseph had no right to be there. And then Joseph Smith rebuked Satan in the name of the Lord, and he departed and touched the child no more, close quote, according to Heber C. Kimball. There are two visions that happened in Zion's camp that are quite fascinating. They are mentioned in section 107, verse 93. There are additional visions of Joseph Smith that happened about the future size of the church, how large it would grow, encounters with individuals, visions about the design and construction of the temple at Far West and in Kirtland and in Nauvoo. There were visions that Joseph Smith saw of future cataclysmic events, and at least one vision of the resurrection of mankind. One of the most interesting ones is an October 9, 1843 funeral for John Adam. And Joseph Smith then said, quote, "If you could gaze into heaven for 5 minutes, you would know more than you would by reading all that has ever been written on the subject," close quote. I find that fascinating. Joseph Smith, an amazing prophet who saw many, many visions. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.